Good morning to everyone. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the simple things of Christ. And I want to read some out of the first chapter of Philippians. And in verse 3, Apostle Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, if we see this in the simple wording that it has, we will see that Paul was praying for this church. He loved this church, and if you think about this, Paul has thanked God for them. He loved that church at Philippi, and he remembered them always in his prayers. Now, I tell you what, that is amazing that Paul always remembered them in his prayers. What a blessing that would be if we could remember everyone that we loved in our prayers. But Paul prayed for this church always. And what Paul was saying, that the foundation for his fellowship and prayers was not their fellowship. He thanked God for their fellowship, and he thanked God that they had fellowship from that day up until, or from the first day up until that day. And Paul gives a very solid basis of that fellowship. And Paul says that he was confident of one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. First of all, Paul was confident. Let's break this down. Paul was confident, but his confidence was not in their fellowship. Do y'all see that? Paul was, that wasn't the basis of his prayer. He was thankful for that, but that wasn't the basis of his prayer. Their fellowship could change. Do y'all know that most of our relationships over the course of our lives change? You know that friends fade. Sometimes, sadly. Sometimes the best friend you have in your life, that relationship may change based on something else. Paul's glad that he had fellowship with this church But that was not the basis of his prayer. You know, our marriages, sadly, are broken. Sometimes because of a change. And our marriages aren't the basis of our fellowship. We can't count on our relationships. And you know what? From my perspective, I can't really count on my relationship with God. But I can count on God's relationship with me. I hope that makes sense to you. When you really read this and really understand that there are some shaky things about us, but there's also something unmovable. And Paul is talking about his confidence in this one unmovable thing. And what is that? Paul says that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you know, sometimes we have fellowship in church. And sometimes, tragically, that fellowship is lost. Because something might happen, and over the course of years or days, even, some little thing happens and it drives a wedge between people. Tragically, that does happen. But Paul says that I'm glad that I've got fellowship with you, but the basis of that fellowship, Paul says, is this. That he which hath begun a good work, I want us to break this down. The same person that starts the work will finish it. All right, let's get that down out of the way first. Who hath begun a good work in you? It's not you doing a good work. For what good work could you do first? This goes back to the very beginning. You know, I think about the first work that God did in creation was He shined the light, didn't He? He says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. As it was in the natural creation, so also is it in the new creation. So that's the beginning of the good work that's in you. Is that God says, let there be light. And really what that light is that He shows Himself to you. He illuminates your soul. David said, He lit my candle. That's the way David put it. He lit my candle. And God lights every man that comes into the world with that true light. That's the first thing that happens in the new creation. Is you are illuminated and you see yourself in the proper place and you see God in His proper place and you realize that it's not all about you. Now, God built upon this foundation, okay? He wasn't finished with you. He wasn't finished in creation. After He said, let there be light, He did other things. Not only did He create the grass and trees and fish and in the sea and the sun and the moon and the stars and the heavens and all of that. He created all those things. After He says, let there be light. Now, the same thing happens in to us as new creations after he says, let there be light. He does other works on us, in us. But I want to first get out that he which hath begun a good work. Do you know when God created the earth, he says when he was finished, he surveyed all that he had created and he said, this is good and very good. God estimated all of his work as being good. And as it was in the natural creation, so it is in the new creation. God looks at his new creature, at you, when he sends his Spirit into you to make you a new creation. God considers that a good work, a good thing, a good creation. Now, let's go on a little bit farther. This work that he's begun in you, it is not a work perfected yet. I mean, when I say perfected, I mean complete. This is a work that continues on. After he illuminates your soul and heart and all of that, he continues to give you wonderful things, doesn't he? I tell you what, one of the gifts that he gives you is a minister. All the graces that he gives you in your being born again are all from him. And he's begun that good work. Now, Paul is confident in not only the one that began the good work, but he's confident in that good work. He's confident that that good work will continue. And so Paul says that this work is an internal work. Y'all understand that? This is not a good work. It's not an external work that we do. This is an internal one that God did. It started from the inside out, not the outside in. Now, Paul looks at this and he says that this work is in you. And it's not a reformation. I want y'all to hear me. This work that Paul's talking about is not a reformation or reforming of your mindset or attitude or anything like that that you do. This is not a submission to a gospel ordinance. It's not following the words of this book. It's not a conformity to any prescribed religious practice, i.e. saying a prayer, doing a good thing, being baptized. It's not any of that. It's not this good work that's begun in you is not an external work. For the external works are the things that we're created unto to do, but that's not what Paul's talking about here. He says, he that hath begun a good work gets you to perform it until the day of Christ. That's not what it says. He says, he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it, will perform it until the day of Christ. So whoever started it is going to finish it. Now, Paul says that this work is performed from the inside out. This is a surgery, if you will, of the heart. And it is the quickening of the Spirit. It's the Spirit's work on the heart. That's how it begins, isn't it? It doesn't begin in your mind. It doesn't begin in your action. It begins in your heart. And the Bible says very plainly who did that work. And I'm just going to read a couple of citations to help you realize and understand that this is an internal work that God does. Now, Exodus 11 and 19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh. So, people that are in the flesh can have a stony heart. But God takes the stony heart out. And he does that by the implantation and sending the Spirit to us. Now, Romans 2 and 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. An inward Jew. Do you know you're a Jew? If you have been born of the Spirit of God, you are a Jew. Now, you're not you might not be a natural one, but you are a Jew to God. One that has been circumcised. And how did that happen? Paul says, this is an inward thing, not an outward thing. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. Now, if you understand what a natural circumcision is, it was not of the heart. It was of the another member. Cutting away, it's a circumcision, is a cutting away to reveal something. Now, this heart is a circumcision that happens into your heart. And you have no scars, no outward scars from that surgery. That's a surgery that God does from the inside out. He says, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. So the changing of the heart cannot be done by any other means other than God himself sending the Spirit to get it done. Now, and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, that's another citation there that talks about the Spirit doing this circumcision and this good work in you. It's a circumcision of heart, and it does it by the Spirit. And I'll give you another example right here in 1 Peter chapter 3. The Apostle Peter, see, it's not just Paul talking about this. This is the Apostle Peter. He says, and he's talking about wives and husbands here. And he says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or behavior or of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation. That means a pure life, coupled with fear. And he's going to describe that chaste conversation, that pure life here, whose adorning, that means on the outside, right? Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning. So he's talking about an adorning, but not the outward showy kind. Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, not the external stuff, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. And I want to get this too. In that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So God deems this good work that he's begun in us a good work. He's deemed it a pricey work, a valuable work that he's done. And I want us to remember, and John talked a lot about this, about it not being corruptible, because his seed remaineth in him. That's a wonderful thing to think about, isn't it? That this good work that God has started, not only is he going to perfect it or finish it or perform it. But that work that God does is an incorruptible work. I like that, don't you? This is a blessing to me. I tell you, this is a work of grace. And Paul says that it is a work that only God can perform. Now, I might start some things in my life, but I can't finish them right. But this is God's work, and God always gets His purposes done, doesn't He? He always does. Paul is confident that if he begins it, he will complete it. He will perform it. He will finish it. And how long is he going to be doing this work? He's going to be, and he don't just start the work and wait on you to finish it. There's a lot of people out there that says God will do something if you let it. Or God will do something if, he starts the work, but you've got to finish it. Friends, I'm going to tell you, the work that God starts, He's going to perform it until the day of Christ. That means that God started the work, and He finishes this work that He starts. Now, there's a lot of things, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of things that God told us to do in being a good disciple, and it's up to us to finish it. But this work that Paul's talking about, this good work that God began in you, this work God will finish and perfect until the day of Christ. Now, how many times have you heard it said, when I got my kids to do something, I'd give them a task to do, and they would do it, but they wouldn't do it up to my specifications. And I had to go behind them and fix it. Okay? How many times at work have you designated somebody else to do something, and they did not finish the work? How many times have you delegated something or had to rely on somebody else to do your job, and they didn't do theirs, so you couldn't do yours? That's frustrating, isn't it? It's bad frustrating to me when I have to rely on somebody else to get my work done. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. And I've said this a lot of times. If you want something done right, you've got to what? You've got to do it yourself. That's exactly right. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. If somebody else messes it up, you've got to fix it up. If someone is negligent in doing their work and you can't do yours unless you do theirs, that's frustrating. But I'm going to tell you what, that God began this work, and God knew that if it was going to be done right, then He had to do it Himself. That's why God begun the work, and He will perform it until the day of Christ. That's a blessing, isn't it? That's a solid foundation for me to rely on and be confident in. And so Paul continues on and in this, and I want to look about this. He says that none of us could do it right or make ourselves righteous, so God did it Himself. I like that. I like that. God said, I'm doing it, and it's done. You know, Jesus said it is finished on the cross, didn't He? That's another subject. But hallelujah, Jesus performed that work that He came to do, and God isn't finished doing His work. Paul says, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. How long is He going to perform this work? He's going to perform it until the day of Christ. Do you think that's talking about the advent of Jesus Christ into the world? If it was, then His work that Paul's talking about is over. because Jesus Christ had already been resurrected by the time Paul wrote the book of Philippians. You understand that? So this work that Paul's talking about is the work that is ongoing. This is the work that is God's, and he's going to continue this work until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what day is that? You remember, God just don't wind it up and let it go until it finished. God just don't set this thing in motion and however it turns out, it turns out. God has deemed this work to be his. And he's going to perform it all up until the time when Jesus returns. I tell you, this work is not complete in us yet. I don't know if I can... Well, I can't explain it. You know why it's not complete in us yet? It's because I still have sinful thoughts. I still have sinful actions. I still have sinful motivations. But that time, it's because the Spirit is dwelling in this vile body that I've got. And God is going to continue his work until the day that Jesus Christ returns, and when he's going to change our vile bodies, made like unto his glorious body, and so will we ever be with the Lord. I tell you, that is a great thing for us to understand, is that this work of that God has begun in us is going to be performed by God until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, that means that God's going to finish the job. He's going to be able, not just be able, he's going to declare this world no more, and he's going to split heaven wide open when he comes, and when he comes and we're changed to be made like unto him. That's when that work is going to be perfected. It's going to be performed until the day of Christ. And when that work, it'll be totally finished. He won't have to do that work anymore because all of the work of regeneration will be finished. All of the work of sanctification and redemption will be finished. Because we will be at that point fit to live. We'll be made like unto his glorious body, which is sinless. It's not going to be able to be touched by death. It's going to be fit to house it's going to be sinless. It's going to be fit to dwell in glory where God is. That's a perfected work. That's the work that he's going to complete that he began in you. And it's going to be realized when we finally get home. And it's going to be a sinless place, a sinless among other sinless people, where all the saints will be. Won't that be nice? Have you ever, you know, there are people that I don't like to be around in this world. I'm not going to tell you who they are. There are some people that I just don't want to be around in this world because, to be quite frank, it makes you almost want to take a shower after you be with them for a little, after you're around them for a little while. You know? You ever known people like that? Well, in glory, it won't be like that. We won't have to be worried about, or we won't have that feeling because there will be no sin there. We won't have to try to avoid talking with anybody. We won't have to try to avoid being with anybody or being around somebody. When somebody said, you ever done this? When somebody waves at you and you think, I don't want to talk to them today. I'm going to turn around and act like I didn't see them. We won't have to be doing that anymore when we get to glory. Sinless body around other sinless saints in a sinless environment where there's no chance of us ever being defiled again. I tell you what, if you can't have confidence in God beginning the work and finishing it, I would suggest to you that you are a sad individual. If your confidence is in any good work that you do, you'll be disappointed. If you have any confidence in any flesh or any work of the flesh as a infallible proof of your holiness, you're going to be disappointed. And other people will too. But you know who will never be disappointed? God will never be disappointed in His work. I pray that the Lord would help us to dwell in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And remember that He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. That doesn't mean that we should be lazy or lackadaisical in our walk, worship, or fellowship with Christ and each other and discipleship. Doesn't mean that we should be lackadaisical in our discipleship. But I tell you what, it gives me a great confidence in God's work. Let us do the work that He gave us to do with joy and confidence in His work. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.